All right, so this morning, if you would with me, I know we've been in the book of Daniel for the past 6 weeks, but we're going to pivot, okay? I'm going to ask you to give me some grace because I know that we said we're going to study, study through the book, and I know that there's so much deep truth that we still have to uncover from the book of Daniel, but I want to pivot for a second and take you to the book of Joshua chapter 1. And I promise you that at one point or another, whether it be next week or a few weeks from now, depending on how the Lord moves, we'll get back to the second half of Daniel. But for now, I want you to go to Joshua chapter 1 with me. Joshua chapter 1, we're going to read verse 1 through 9. And then we're gonna discuss this. Amen? All right. Everybody there? Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. See, it's a habit. We've been in Daniel for so long. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. And when you get there, let me hear an amen. You remember old school? When you get there, say amen. Come on. If you're there, say amen. All right. Let's do this. All right. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. It reads like this. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. Take a note of that. It's I have given, not I will give. Just underline that. We'll talk about that. Just as I have promised to Moses. Verse 4, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. Come on. Aren't you glad we have a God that encourages us to be strong and courageous? For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to forgive them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Here we go for the third time. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you that your word is alive and that it encourages us. It stirs us up. It challenges us. It even corrects us when we need to be corrected. And so this morning, Lord, I ask that you would do just that. Speak to us. Deal with our hearts. Reveal your truth to us, God. And I pray that this seed would fall on fertile ground. And I pray all these things in Jesus' mighty name. And the church said, amen and amen. All right, how many know that life is full of transition? Everybody know that? You're transitioning throughout your life, all of your life. There's transitions that we choose, like going from being single into a relationship. There's transitions we choose, like going to a college or deciding to get married or choosing what job to go into or a school or a college or even a ministry opportunity. And then there's other transitions that are thrust upon us, like the loss of a loved one, which I was just talking to somebody here whose grandmother is actually on going through the process of passing away. And that transition is thrust upon you. Or the passing, like the people of Israel, the passing of a leader like Moses, who was a great leader, or like an unexpected change in your life. Anybody ever experienced that kind of transition? A transition or change that you didn't expect would come, but all of a sudden, it came all of a sudden and left you a little bit disoriented, left you a little bit despaired, left you a little bit confused, left you asking some questions, because whatever the case may be and whatever type of transition moment you find yourself, they can be some of the most exciting times, but also they can be some of the most unsettling times in your life. Because whatever kind of transition you find yourself in, it finds you and it also forces you to ask questions like, will we be able to handle this? Or what if I fail at this job? Or what if this marriage or relationship is the wrong one? And what if this marriage fails? Or what if I don't do well at this career? What if I don't do well at this college? What if I don't do well? It makes you wonder and question yourself, and it makes you have some fears and some doubts. Or what if this thing doesn't work out, and I find myself at a place where I have to figure out what the next step is or what the next move is? This is exactly where we find Joshua in this passage today. Moses, one of the greatest leaders to ever live, is gone. The people are left to kind of fend for themselves. The people find themselves on the edge of the promised land, and Joshua now has to carry the responsibility of leading these people after being under the tutelage of Moses for so long. And Joshua now finds himself feeling the weight of leadership. And I can tell you that I have found myself there myself. Feeling the weight of leading people through growth and maturity in the Lord, leading people through changes in their lives, leading people through different types of seasons in their lives, making sure that like I'm leading them correctly and I'm teaching them the right things. And like, guys, the weight of what it feels like to be a pastor, even someone that people look to, even though I always tell you I'm just a man just like you, and I put on my pants one leg at a time, and I'm gonna mess up and I'm gonna miss the mark, I still feel the weight of ensuring that I'm not leading you astray, that I'm trying to be the best shepherd that I can. But that is a very heavy weight to carry. So I could imagine, like, it's me being a pastor of like 120 to 130 of you guys. Imagine being Joshua, who was just kind of like the understudy of Moses for a while. And now from day to night, he finds himself now having to step in as number one and lead not just 130 something people, but like thousands and millions even that were in the wilderness that Moses brought out of Egypt, that find themselves in the place of like, what do we do now? Do we go back to Egypt, or do we continue to push forward to the promise of God? This is where Joshua finds himself. And I could imagine the questions that he had. And yet at this moment, God doesn't give Joshua a pep talk. God doesn't give him like this, like, hey, you could do it, buddy. Right? Like, in this moment, what God actually does is he gives him the resources that he needs to be able to handle the responsibility that he now has. He gives him the promise and reminds him of the promise that he had from before he ever stepped in that position, from before Moses ever led the people. It was a promise that he gave the people that he would lead the people into the promised land. And so what God does is, hey, I know things look desperate right now. I know things look scary right now, but I want to remind you that I have a promise that must be fulfilled. Not only does he remind him of the promise, but then he gives him some commands and some encouragement that reveal what true courage looks like. And those same words ring true still for us today. The reason why I wanted to pivot from the book of Daniel is because I have some exciting news, but also some scary news. I like that. Interactive. Let's go. The good news is that as of October 5th, we will no longer be gathering here. We will be gathering at Cumberland Christian School. Keep that same energy with me, all right? I like this. Keep that same energy, fam. So here's why that's a good news, right? Like, we get a gymnasium that we could use for services. We get a cafeteria that could be used for kids ministry, 2 classrooms, an office, a storage space, 2 bathrooms with multiple stalls. Come on, somebody. And lights that work. An air conditioning system that works. Heating that works in the winter. Right? We're not going to feel stuffy. But I'm sure, as exciting as that news is, there are some questions that need to be answered. How are we going to make the space work? What's it going to take to be able to ensure that we run effectively? Are we going to have the team that's going to be required for the setup that needs to be handled? Because as, yay, we're in a new building! It's also a gym that sits 500 people. And we don't want it to feel empty, so we're going to have to set up pipe. And guess what? The sound system's got to be set up every week. And the TVs have to be set up every week. And so keep the same energy you just had. And like, yay, we got a new location! To be like, yes, I get to be a part of the promise of God. And be a contributor and not a consumer. And to be a part of what God is doing. Because here's the thing. While I talked about it with my team. The very real reality about change is this. That while for many it will be super exciting, for others it will be scary. And you might have some questions. Like, how's it? Oh, by the way. Let me just tell you how much of a blessing this is. Financially, we get to save over $575 a month. So we're also stewarding the finances of the church very well. So you can be encouraged by that, right? But I'm sure there's questions of like, okay, I don't know if I could make it to set up. I don't know if I could be a part of this. I don't know if that's more of a driving distance. I don't know. And could I just be honest with you? In many ways, I feel like Joshua, because like, the Lord has given us a vision. And one of the things that I've always said about this church is, and I continue to say it, is that we feel no pressure to be anything that God doesn't want it to be. I don't feel any pressure to be the next largest, biggest church in South Jersey, New Jersey, or even the East Coast, whatever. And I also feel no pressure to keep it small with just 50 people. I've always said, Lord, whatever you lead us into is what I'm going to be faithful to walk into. And so if it's 60 people, 160 people, 1,600 people, 16,000 people, so long as you go with us and you are with us, we will do whatever we need to do and go wherever we need to go. But the one thing that we will forever, ever, ever hold true to and cling to is that we are going to be the kind of church that is Jesus-centered, word-driven, spirit-filled, and people-focused. That's not going to change. And so what I love about the story is that God steps into Joshua's situation and he kind of lets him know, hey, the show must go on. The mission still needs to be accomplished. I was listening to a podcast not long ago, and I shared this with the team before, but I was listening to a podcast not long ago, and they shared that one of the mottos or the slogans for one of the military, what do you call that, units or, you know, I think it's Air Force or Navy or Department. Their slogan is people first, mission always. People first, mission always. That means we keep the maturity, the health, the stability, the people will always be the center of our focus, but we will always live to ensure that we accomplish the mission that God has set us to accomplish, and that is to go and make disciples of all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teach them the commandments of Jesus, and teach them to obey them as well. And so Joshua finds himself in a moment of change and transition where he feels a little bit confused. He feels a little bit despaired. He feels a little bit discouraged. He's having to grieve someone that he loved deeply. And God steps into this moment like he does for many of us. And he goes, hey, I know that you know this, but I need you to understand, Moses, my servant, is dead. This wasn't an announcement for Joshua of something that he did not know. What you need to understand is for many of those, back in those times, when people would have like funerals, that they would be like days and sometimes weeks at a time of mourning and grieving. So this is something that Joshua was aware. But what God was trying to tell Joshua is, listen, it is time to move on. And there's moments in our lives where God wants us to understand that, yes, you can celebrate all that I have done. Yes, you can grieve and you can mourn. But at one point or another, you're going to have to know when it's time to keep it moving. And for us, we find ourselves in that moment. And God has done incredible things here. We've seen people baptized, and we've seen marriages being restored. We've seen lives being changed and transformed. I could go on and on of the Lewises, the Ericas, the Christines, the Logans. Like, we've seen life being changed. We could tell you of the miracles of how God is healing people who are going through cancer, and they're seeing tumors completely dissolve from being a part of this body and praying. But listen to me. God is trying to do something new. And if you aren't willing to take a step away from the past, grieve, celebrate, mourn it, but keep it moving, because God has something greater than where you are right now. And for them, it was going into the promised land. So what God does is he talks to Joshua and he lets them know, hey, I've got some promises for you, but I also have some commands that you need to live by, but I also want you to be encouraged as you do so. And look, change can be exciting, but it can feel very intimidating, and you might have a lot of questions, but just like Joshua, we all need to hear to be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. In other words, what makes the new thing that much less scarier is the fact that we are not doing so alone. Look at what he says to Joshua when he's speaking to him. After he tells him in verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, and you and all this people into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you. Stop. This is one of the verses that have been taken so out of context, especially in the Pentecostal charismatic circles, which I would consider myself to be a part of, okay? This is not God telling you that whatever you step into is yours. You can't step into a McDonald's and go, I want to be a successful entrepreneur and own a bunch of McDonald's franchises, so I'm going to step into it and be like, because I stepped into it, God promised that he's going to give it to me. You can't go to the next car dealership and go and find the next Tesla, even though you can't afford to have a Tesla. You don't even got a charging station for a Tesla. But you want to lay your hand on it and say, well, everything that I touch and everything my foot treads on, God promised he will give to you. No, no, no. That's not what he promised. What he promised, that everything he has purposed for you, that you step into, so long as it's his purpose, his will, done under his plan, through his power, shall be yours. So the promise is that whatever God promises, he will be faithful to give. So don't misunderstand what we're saying. The promise is only backed up by his presence and his power. You don't get something that he doesn't give you. You don't go into something that he doesn't go in with you. Because if you do, and you go without him, the thing you think might be a blessing will actually turn out to be a curse. And that's where Joshua finds himself. You see, God's work, what God is trying to teach Joshua is that, for number one, his work never stops with one person or one season. Leaders come, leaders go. Places come, places go. But God's purposes will remain the same forever. And as a church, we have to be faithful to step in to what God is telling us to step into. But we also have to have the discipline to know what he's allowing us to step into and what he's not allowing us to step into. The reason we're moving to this school is because God has gone before us, not because we're going before God. We have been praying. I promise you, we have looked and we have looked and we have looked. We have heard your desperation of how sweaty you might feel. We have heard the desperation of your children who are being delivered from heat stroke as we speak. I promise your kids are safe. We make sure they got fans, water. And we've prayed. And the Lord is simply saying, I have gone before you. The moment is now. It's time to step into the promise. Now, here's the catch. You cannot do that. One, unless you remember what the promise is. And two, unless you remember that the only way you get into the promise is through his presence and his power. It is not your ability to be able to do that. It is not my ability. The reason why you should be strong and courageous is not because there's anything strong, special, or wonderful about you. It's because wherever he goes, so long as you are with him, you will forever be safe. So look what he says to Moses. Or to Joshua, I'm sorry. In verse 7, he says, know what? Let's go to verse 5. This is a promise that he makes to Joshua. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. So what he's saying to Joshua is, no man shall be able to stand before you, not because there's anything special about you, but because there's everything special about me. So long as I am with you and you stay under my authority and you stay under the submission of me and you walk with me and you obey me, you're good. The moment you remove yourself from the presence of God, that's when you are no longer safe. So what he says is, just as I was with Moses, the same way I was with Moses, Joshua, I want you to know that I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. And listen to me, there is not a greater promise that you could ever have in the Bible than that promise right there. I tell my wife all the time, this thing could burn to the ground. We could lose our home. We could lose our finances. We could be sick and struggling. And so long as I always have the Lord and my family, I will be Gucci. We will be okay. There's no greater promise. You could be impoverished, you could be sick, or you could be rich and wealthy and have much and be totally healthy. And none of it matters either way, so long as you always have God with you. That's the greatest promise. And I often pray this. I don't want the healing, I want the healer. I don't want the provision, I want the provider. I don't want the miracle, I want the miracle worker. I don't want deliverance, I want the deliverer. Why? Because none of those other things matter outside of him. That's the greatest promise we could ever have. Not that God would make you rich, not that God would make you wealthy, not that he would make you prosper, not that he would heal you from your sickness. All those things are wonderful. There's nothing wrong with desiring them. There's nothing wrong with praying for those things. There's nothing wrong with hoping for those things. But no matter what, whether you have those things or you don't, he is still good. He is still faithful because he's always with you. And that's the greatest gift that we could ever have. So whether we find ourselves like the people of Israel in the wilderness or we find ourselves in the promised land, what makes either of those things good all the time is that God is with us. And he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And we hear that echoed all throughout the scriptures, both in the book of Psalms. We hear it in the book of Hebrews, that he will be with us all the days of our lives. In verse 6, he says, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful. Now watch this. What makes you strong and courageous is not you, but your ability to be careful, to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. In other words, what he's saying is what makes you strong and courageous is ensuring that you are careful to walk in obedience and surrender unto him. Like the charge and the promise is only guaranteed so long as you are faithful to walk in obedience of his word. Which, by the way, is the definition of success. He says, be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or the left, that you may have good success. You know what's not going to define your success? Is doing anything other than what God instructs you to do. Success is not the outcome of what you do. Success is defined by how you conduct what it is you do. Success is not defined by how many people are in these chairs. Hear me. I could care less if we pack out this building or not, if that's how we're defining success. Success is not about the numbers. Success is not about the results. Success is only true success so long as it is revealed by true, genuine faithfulness and obedience to God. Like, I will consider myself a successful pastor if I have done everything that I could to be faithful to this word, to teaching you and guiding you and leading you back to him and pointing you to him always. That's what I define success as. Because that's what the Bible defines success as. Like, we're not successful because we're going into a bigger space and that space gets filled. We're successful because we're being faithful to his word. Whatever that looks like. That's success. It's not about how many decisions are being made. It's about how many people are genuinely being transformed. And genuinely being discipled. How many families are actually being reconciled? Like, it's time that we as a church really redefine what success looks like. And for those of you who might even feel discouraged about where you are in life, let that encourage you right there. That success is not defined by the result of your life, but by the faithfulness of it. So yeah, you might not be where you think you should be. Are you where God says you should? Because that's what makes a difference. You see, to Joshua, he lets Joshua know that our security is not in buildings and strategies or even people. Our security is in the promises of God and our willingness to be faithful to his word. And so when we move from one location to another, we can feel like we're losing ground, but God reminds us, wherever you go, I am with you. Whether it's here or in a new place, his presence is with us. But more importantly, we have to be careful to ensure that the driving force, not just of our lives personally, but of our life as a church corporately, is living the Word of God. That we don't just open this thing up when it's time to preach or hear the preacher, whoever it is, whether it's myself or anybody else in this church, but the Word of God begins the main focus of your life. The Word of God begins to become the main driving force, the essence of your very being, the guidance that you need, the light that you need, the source of your strength, the thing that changes your life from the inside out. Notice what he says to Joshua in verses 7 through 8. He says, "Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commands you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. For this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth." In other words, you shall always speak of the goodness of his word. You shall always speak of his word, that his word shall never leave your lips. And then he also takes it even further. But you shall meditate on it day and night. That ought to convict some of us right now, because some of us don't meditate on it week after week, or even month after month, and dare I say, even year after year. When was the last time you actually opened up his word? When was the last time you actually meditated on this thing? Well, I wish my life would look different. When's the last time you opened up the Word of God, allowed it to be your mirror, reveal what needs to be transformed in your life, and then said, you know what? Whatever doesn't line up with this thing needs to change. Whether that's the way you parent, the way you conduct yourself in a relationship, the way you simply conduct yourself as a single man or woman, your integrity, your prayer life, your surrender, your humility, your meekness, your gifts, your generosity. What about your life does not line up with this? And if it doesn't line up with it, change it, transform it, turn it aside, leave it, turn away from it, and walk towards what the Word of God tells you to do. And you only can do that if you're constantly in this thing. If you don't know what to change, and if you don't know what needs to change, open up his word every morning. Get off of Facebook and Instagram and every other social media thing that distracts you and keeps you from being who God actually wants you to be, and open up the Bible and let it speak to you. Let it minister to you. Let it correct you, challenge you, whip you into shape. Whatever it's got to do, let it do. And then come back to me in a month and tell me that you don't know. Then come back to me in a month and tell me whether or not you're feeling discouraged. Come back to me in a month and let me know if your marriage is still in the same dysfunction that it's in. I promise you, if you would just open it up and apply, don't just read it, apply it, life will look different. That's what defines success. He says, speak it, meditate on it, but here's the next one, obey it. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. This is verse 8, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful, intentional, to do according to all that is written in it. In other words, every aspect of my life, I am intentionally and carefully ensuring that it aligns with every truth that is in this book. Not for the sake of being saved by it. Because you could do everything this book says, but if you don't have faith in Jesus, it's all mute. That's why some of the righteous, that we will be surprised by who gets into heaven and who gets into hell. Because it's not about what you can do, But it all is also important that you are mindful of what you do. That makes sense to you? That you can't save yourself by your works, but because you are saved, your works need to look a little different. And if it doesn't line up with this word, then it needs to change. He says, you got to be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You want to have success? Focus less on investing your money and focus more on stewarding it for the glory of God. You want to have success? Focus less on what position you think you should have and focus more on how you live in the position you have. I tell people this all the time. Doing the will of God and having success in your life has less to do with what you are doing and more to do with how you are doing it. Are you doing it for His glory? Are you being sober-minded about yourself? Are you walking in humility? Are you being humble? Are you being generous? Those things that line up with His word are what make you prosperous and successful. Success is not defined in the word of God how the world defines it. Success, according to the word of God, is defined by being careful and mindful to live out the word of God. And so I just want to say that as a church, that is our commitment. That we are not defining success by the results of what other churches or other business organizations or what the world will try to define success as. We will not be a successful church if there's thousands of people in our church. We will be a successful church if we are a church that is committed and driven by His word. Period. And that right there is what gives us true courage that comes not from self-confidence, but from a confidence of knowing that we are living out God's word in His presence. And we know that our church moves. And as it moves, there's going to be practical challenges, there's going to be new routines, there's going to be new neighbors and new responsibilities, but our success will not come from being clever. Our success will come by being faithful to God's word. And if we remain that kind of church that preaches the Bible, the kind of church that lives the Bible, the kind of church that obeys it, the kind of church that that believes in all of its promises, God promises that He will bless us. It's a guarantee. And that's what gives us courage. That's what gives us strength. Verse 9 says, have I not commanded you, and the band can come up, have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. In other words, what gives you the strength and the courage is His presence that goes with you. And I promise you, the reason why He says that is because the scariest place to be is outside of His presence. The reason we're making this move as a church is not because we're trying to make moves. The reason we're making this move as a church is not because we think this is another step in our success path. The reason we're making this move as a church is because God has given us an opportunity to walk, take another step towards His promise. When we planted this church, believing that this would be a place where God, where people can encounter God in a true and genuine, authentic way that would cause them to live a transformed life, that would bring them to a point where they put their faith, their trust, and hope in Jesus and in nothing else. Not in me, not in this team, not in the equipment, not a building, not nothing. Just Jesus and Jesus Christ alone, because that is the only way by which any man can make it to heaven. And our commitment is to continue to remain faithful to that purpose. And that is why we're making this move. Look around. This isn't even everybody here today. People are still vacationing to coming back, right? But what's going to happen when everybody's in the same place and we have no place for them to sit? So that means we have to go into a bigger space. Or we go two services and your boy ain't trying to do that. But your boy will also do whatever we need to do to ensure that people come to the knowledge of Jesus. Because that's what it's all about. It's not about anything other than that. It's not about being hip. It's not about being cool. It's not about being large. It's not about anything other than ensuring that people come to know Jesus, that lives are transformed, marriages are restored, children are developed to be the generation that then goes on to reach the next generation, and the generation of them meets the next generation, because we have been called to be witnesses of Him for His glory throughout Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so over the next month, we've got a lot of preparing to do, a lot of faith to build, a lot of establishing to do. And we're just inviting you, hey, come along for the ride, because we're not just going to bless others. It's going to be a blessing to walk in the promises of God for each and every one of us here. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. God, we thank You that You are with us wherever we go. God, I thank You that we serve a God who is not only with us, but is aware of all the things that we might encounter. God, I thank You that You've gone before us. And will there be challenges? Absolutely. But we know that because You have gone before us and You are with us, no matter what challenge we face, we will overcome, because You have already overcome them for us. And so, Lord, we are just the kind of church that will just say yes and amen. And we surrender and submit. We acknowledge that in and of ourselves, we have no strength. In and of ourselves, we have no courage. And the only thing that gives us that strength and courage that we need is, first and foremost, the promise of knowing that You have called us, the promise of knowing that You have called us and that You promised that You would do a great work. But also, God, what gives us the confidence and the strength is knowing that You are with us and that Your word will drive us and lead us. And so, Lord, help us to be intentional. Help us to be careful as we submit to Your word, to be careful to obey it, to be careful to meditate on it day and night, to be careful to ensure that it is a driving force of our lives and of our church. Lead us and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.